Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Men broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to this broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Men broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we will give unto you. Praise be to God. So, excuse me, without further ado, we're going to go into the lesson today. Once again, I want to welcome you all from all parts of the world listening to the broadcast. I want to extend a welcome to those of you that are listening in Iraq. God bless you. Welcome. Welcome to those of you that are listening in Canada and in all other surrounding countries. May God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. So for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, once again, you know how we do this. We open up with prayer before we go into any preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And for those of you that are first-time listeners, that is what we do. We open up with prayer, and then we go into the lesson that we have for this day. Amen. So wherever you listen to me at, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us petition the Lord together. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, once again, we thank you for another blessed day in the Lord. We thank you for another opportunity you have given us. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to take advantage of this opportunity right now. So at this time, we petition you once again for the presence of your Spirit to be with us, and that through your Spirit you will release the light that we stand in need of this day, that we may know what is in the mind and will of God. So, Father, as we indeed were on this journey, on this subject, Lord God, let your Spirit speak unto all that is listening and reveal the will of the Lord our God. For, Lord, we will give you glory and honor and praise, and we magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory to God. Thank God for his blessed word. And we're going to go into the series, on this series here about spiritual adultery. Amen. And just to talk to you about it, and this is what God has put on my heart to let those know that this thing is serious. Amen. This thing is serious. And for those of you, once again, who are first-time listeners, I want to encourage you to go back to part one of the first part, spiritual adultery, changing to the harlot. This is actually the third part in the series. Amen. And go to the, you know, when you listen to this today, go back to start part one, start in the beginning, because you don't want to come to the middle or the end of something. Many times you may not grasp the overall whole meaning of the message. But we've been looking at spiritual adultery, and first of all, we had to define adultery, even from the physical standpoint, is sex between a married man and a woman that is not his wife, or a married woman and with a man that is not her husband. It also can be that these two people were having sexual intercourse, could be married, but not to one another. That is also adultery. However, another thing of adultery that we see from the Word of God that is translated from adultery, or the Hebrew word na'af, Na'af means to commit apostasy. And when you're committing apostasy, you want two things that you're doing. Number one, you're renouncing the faith. And number two, you are abandoning a previous loyalty, okay, to God. Amen. And so we have been looking at that in this series, amen, and talking about it. So what we're going to do, let us go to the scripture we're going to look at today. Let us go to the book of James chapter 4, verse 4. The book of James, chapter 4, verse 4. And we're talking about spiritual adultery, okay? When you go and you, first of all, you forsake your loyalty and faithfulness to God, and you're giving that to something or someone else. That's when you fall into the realm of spiritual adultery, amen? And we have been looking at things, what God said in his word, that was acts or led into spiritual adultery, and we're talking about these things that you may be aware, you know, because many times you find out that you're in it, okay, or you can see signs that would lead you into it. Just like we talk about the physical adultery the other week, and talk about some things that you don't need to do that will be unwise, that can lead you into that act of adultery. And so that is the same thing also in the spirit, amen? And God has revealed and let me know that many of his people are in spiritual adultery, and he is calling on repentance because of his love for you, amen? But once again, just like physical adultery brings consequences for that sin, so does spiritual adultery. And so therefore, when you look into the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, God gives a list of even the curses for verse 15 to verse 69 to anyone who does not or who breaks his commandments. And we must understand that sin opened up the door for curses. Amen. And so God does not want us to be cursed. So therefore, hallelujah, he wants us to repent the adultery act that we're doing. Amen. That leads us away from him. Praise be to God. So let's go into the book of James, chapter 4, verse 4. And, you know, I was thinking I might have one more part to this series. It may be the last part. I don't know. Whatever the Lord say. But we're looking at here about spiritual adultery. And I want to read verse 4. Amen. And the fourth verse says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Amen. Hallelujah. And that's very interesting. And notice that he mentions adulterers and adulteresses. Now, the first thing I want to look at in this verse is that when the Lord said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world," okay, friendship of the world. Now, when I look up the word friendship, looking at the original Greek word for friendship is philia, philia. Philia means fondness. It means friendship, okay? Fondness or friendship. So we can read it this way: "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the fondness of the world is enmity with God," okay? Having us a fondness of the world. Now let's break that word fondness down a little bit deeper. Let's talk to Mr. Webster and ask Mr. Webster, "Mr. Webster, what does the word fondness mean?" And Mr. Webster says, and gave us a couple of things on the word fondness. Number one, he said fondness means foolishness or folly, okay? Foolishness or folly, okay? Hallelujah. Folly means evil, wickedness, foolish actions or conduct. So we can look at it and read this way: "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the," get this, "foolish actions, the evil, the wickedness, the foolish, the folly of this world is enmity with God." Hallelujah. Now we're going to talk about in a few minutes, you know, why it's enmity with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, this is what he's saying here. Now, so he goes on a little bit further in this verse of another thing I want to look at. He says that whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is what? The enemy of God. Wow. Okay. So we looking up the word friend in the original Greek. The original Greek word for friend means dear. That is a friend. It means to act. It means the fond. That is friendly. Still as a, even as a noun, or in other words, it means an associate, a neighbor. Okay, hallelujah. And according to Webster, it can also mean one attached to another by affection or esteem. Okay, so according to the Word of God, the Lord by James said, "A friend of this world." Okay, a friend of this world. He said it's an enemy to God. And so it goes in that connection with that fondness that he's talking about. Because we're going to explore this a little bit deeper now, because, you know, some of you may be thinking, "Now, wait a minute, God, what are you saying? That I have certain, quote, friends that are not saved. I mean, are you telling us to treat them badly or be rude to them or something like that. No, but we're going to go into a little bit more about why God talks about how the friendship of the world is enmity with him, and how that whosoever therefore will be, this is a choice now, be a friend of the world is an enemy with God, choosing to be a friend of the world. Now, we're going to go a little bit deeper, hallelujah, on that, okay? Now, he says, whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world. Now, he mentions the word world twice in his verse, okay? And the word world in original Greek means, if the original Greek word there for world is cosmos. And cosmos means an orderly arrangement, that is decoration, by implicating the world. Or implicating what? Its inhabitants of the world, those that live in the world. So he's saying that whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world or of the orderly arrangement, okay, of the inhabitants is an enemy. Now they that, quote, first of all, of the world will be known as those who are not saved. Even though some sinners can walk in, I mean, some Christians can walk, quote, in a worldly way, okay? So God is pretty much letting us know that it's not so much as being a friend of the world, per se, as the person, but it's how the world operates. You understand what I'm saying? The arrangement, how the world go by doing things, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I sense, thank you, Jesus. The Holy Ghost on that. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. You know, God is worthy to be praised. See, this can lead us into adultery, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to, and this has caught my eye, because in my notes I had wrote this down as I was studying, and I want to give you another definition of the word fond, which came out of friendship, okay? And it's interesting to me. Now, the word fond, also dealing with a particular appetite, okay? Having an appetite. Thank you, Jesus. So having this, see, when you have an appetite for something, you're willing to crave it. You understand what I'm saying? If you had an appetite for a hamburger, you know, you want to eat that hamburger. You want to feed on that hamburger. And so God is dealing with his people about having that appetite, okay, for the way that the world operates, okay? When you have that craving, see, this can lead you into spiritual, hallelujah, glory to God. This can lead you, when you have a craving for how the world operates, it can lead you into spiritual adultery, okay? And see, God, in his word, he gives us, you know, things to watch out for. Not only does God tell us about things that are sinful, but he also let us know about things that if we don't watch out for, it can lead us into sin, okay? So the word of God is full of wisdom, okay? Amen. It's full of wisdom. And it gives us that wisdom and helps us to be cautious that we don't partake of certain things that can lead us into this committing this adultery. And see, just like we're talking about with a husband and wife, things can be done where there's adultery committed there. It's the same thing with God, because when you became saved, you became married to Christ. And when you give all your time to things other than him, you'll fall into that act of adultery. When you start becoming, and not only giving all your time, but you now become joined to it. Just like when a husband and wife have sexual intercourse, they become joined to one another. That's why Paul was telling them in the book of Corinthians, he that's joined to a harlot is one spirit. Okay? And so Paul is trying to direct them on, not, hey, don't get involved with sleeping with these. And in that time, they had a temple in the place of Corinth, called like a Venus temple, and there was these ladies there called themselves sacred prostitutes. And so Paul is trying to direct them, hey, don't get involved with them, don't sleep with them, because you're joining yourself to them. And so therefore, in the spirit, spiritually speaking, when you join yourself to something other than God, giving all your loyalty and faithfulness to it, you fall in the arena of committing spiritual adultery. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Times in my walk with God, I had to repent because I was joined to certain things and I was neglecting God. And I had to repent of that. And this is why many times you hear me on the broadcast reiterating to people, say, hey, spend time with the Lord in prayer and in the word. You need it. You know, I'm talking to Christians, you know, to tell them to do that because, see, you can fall into spiritual adultery if you do not do that, okay? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Now, the word of God also shows two people that a Christian could potentially be a friend of at the same time showing a difference in them. Now, you say, well, what do you mean? Okay, hold your page there. Let's go to James chapter 2, and let's look at verse 23. James chapter 2, verse 23, okay? James chapter 2, verse 23. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, look at what the 23rd verse says. Now, this is what it says about Abraham in his connection to God. And the word of God says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God, the friend of God. Now, going back to James chapter 4, verse 4, the word of God says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Abraham was called a friend of God when he had faith with his works. When you read in verse 22, see, he believed God. That was his connection to God. He believed God. Okay? And he showed he believed God. He showed his connection with God. Okay? Like when we show our, not only that we come by talking and saying I believe God and I love God, but we show by showing our faithfulness to God. You understand what I'm saying? Our loyalty to God. So what we do is that we will spend time with God. Hallelujah. See, that's a friend. That's a friend. And see, when you spend time with God in the word and in prayer, in communion with God, you're showing yourself to be a true friend of God. Okay? And you're also showing yourself to be a spouse to God. Because remember, when you got saved, okay, you became married to Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when we look on this James chapter 4, verse 4, we notice that when he talks about whosoever will be a friend of the world, in his fourth verse, adulterer or adulteresses. When it came to them being a friend of the world, okay? Now, once again, some of you saying, well, okay, well, we can't have no friends. And I'm not saying that. But in the word, not saying that, but there's boundaries, okay? There's boundaries. And then also, it's not just the people per se, but it's how the world operates. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, in other words, when you become fond of the way of the world, the way that the inhabitants, those that are not born again, the way they do or way they live, you'll start falling into the act of committing adultery against God. You understand that? Because you will forsake his ways, you'll forsake spending time with him, and you'll start spending more time in fulfilling the way that the sinner man lives. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And in doing that, you'll become more joined to the sinner man, and you'll forsake your loyalty and faithfulness to God. And see, by you having developing this appetite, that's where the fun is coming into, by you developing this appetite for this world system, once again, you'll fall into the arena of committing adultery against God, because you will no longer want his ways. You will no longer want to be spend no time with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just like if a married man is calling himself more fond of another woman, really liking her and, you know, liking all that about her like he would his own wife, then what's going to happen sooner or later, he's going to forsake his wife and the loyalty and faithfulness to her, and he's going to start clinging and become joined to the other woman. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because, see, notice something. I want to read a verse here that you can write down. I just want to read this verse. And it's coming from Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. And I want to read this verse right here. And notice what he says. He says, "Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." See, we're told not to envy sinners. When you begin to envy sinners and the way they live and the way they do things, because and many times we fall into the arena of seeing that, oh, they getting things, and here I am serving the Lord. It's like I'm struggling and all that. And so now you're looking at the sinner man and the way that he's going by getting these things of the world, and now you have developed an appetite for that, and now you're starting to become more drawn into that. See, this is why, get this, some Christians become, quote, connected to the sinner man than even that which is right, or even with other fellow Christians. Why? Because they have developed this craving or this appetite for the way that the sinner man operates. Hallelujah. And to them, it seemed like, as the sinner man would say, more fun. Hallelujah. More fun. Glory to God. And therefore, they fall into this adultery, okay? Because if the sinner man working a whole bunch of hours to get his cars and houses like that, guess what? When that Christian looking at that sinner man said, oh, man, he got a nice house and a nice car, I'm sitting like over here struggling. So what's going to happen? That Christian is going to start doing the same thing, working a bunch of hours and doing what? Neglecting God. Because the sinner man don't be thinking about spending time with God. You understand what I'm saying? Sinner man don't think nothing about that. They're not thinking about anything about spending time with God. So therefore, in that case, okay, you looking up at them, and it seems like everything's going good for them and all that. Now all of a sudden, you become envious, you know, of what they're doing and of them, okay. Now you have fallen into that ring of adultery. You're going the same way. Amen? Because, see, sometimes we'll look at the sinner man and seem like, you know, we say, well, Lord, we know they in sin, but look like they doing so much and ain't nothing happening to them, and here I am struggling. Well, see, when you look at that way, when you develop a craving for that, wait, how they go about doing things to get some things, and you become fond of that. You develop an appetite for it, okay? All of a sudden, hey, you're going to find yourself doing it, okay? Hallelujah. When you become fond of these other organizations, you know, I give a quick testimony right quick on that. For example, when I was like 20, 21, 22, and my best friend, my earthly friend, he's part of a fraternity. And the fraternity he was part of, man, I thought the world of them, man. I thought, boy, the way they were stepping and all that, I thought that all was something. I really did. Until the Holy Ghost began to deal with me. See? And if I wouldn't have received the touch of the Lord in that area and what he was dealing with me about, see, I would have got so caught up and fascinated with him that, you know, I think he had to be in college to join. But if I had the opportunity, I probably would have joined him. And see, what would have happened, I would have joined myself to them, because the fraternities and sororities, you know what they expect? They expect you organization number one. That's something, now, many of them may not admit that to you, but that's the truth, okay? That's the truth. They expect you to believe all that. That stuff they're feeding you about Greek mythology and the Egyptian mythology and all that stuff over God. Oh, yeah, many of them say, well, no, that ain't right. We ask you to serve God. And well, if you ask me to serve God, why do you keep telling me about these Greek and Egyptian gods and what they did and want me to believe in that and accept that? No, that ain't true, okay? That ain't true. So, therefore, when you become and develop an appetite for how the world do things, okay? Amen. Just like in the world, you know, husband have an argument with his wife have an argument with her husband, go out there and see somebody else that make them giggle and laugh and make them feel good, and the world thing is like, hey, you can go sleep with them. You understand that? See, it's just like I was talking about the other week with the physical adultery. See, there's laws here in the United States and these states of adultery, but don't nobody execute it. You can, I mean, even the police can know two people living together could be married but not to each other, and they live in one another and sleep with one another. You think the police are going to come and slap some handcuffs on them? No. Okay? So the world's way about it, say, hey, do what you like. If it makes you feel good, do it. If they make you giggle and laugh when your own spouse make you mad, do it. Go with it. Amen. I'm just laying it down for you. Amen. And so when you become caught up with the world system and the way they do things, you will draw away from God. You don't want to hear nothing else about God. See, this is why you got so many Christians who are backsliding. When you start talking to them about the Lord, they take off running. Or they won't come around you because they let you know what state they're in. They're in a backslidden state, okay, in a state of spiritual adultery. Now, let us go on a little bit more. I'm going to read that fourth verse again, James chapter 4, verse 4. The word of God says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, I want to look up that word enmity, okay, in the concordance, and I want to give to you what that word means in the concordance. We're going to look under the Greek, 2189, if y'all have the Bible concordance, and that word enmity means hostility, a reason for opposition, hatred. So here's the question. Why does the word of God say that the friendship of the world is enmity or hatred with God? Okay, why is that so? Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 7. So we're going to let Paul answer that to you in his writing to the Christians. Remember, he was writing to the Christians and speaking to the Christians at Rome. He was not speaking to the sinner. And one of the things we're doing wrong, we taking the scripture and trying to apply all this, trying to get the sinner to obey it. The sinner got to receive Christ as Lord. Now, why is this friendship of the world enmity with God? Why is this fondness of the world, of the world system, of how the world go by doing things, the sinner man? Why is it enmity with God? Why is it hatred and opposition to God? Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, okay? For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Do you see that? This world system operates under the carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, okay? And the way that things is done, the way they live. Get this, the verse says, it is not subject to the law of God. That's why it's enmity with God. So when you choose to become and develop an appetite for the world system, how they go about doing things instead of being led by God and doing it God's way, you will fall into an act of spiritual adultery because you'll start joining yourself, just like a man and woman when they have sexual intercourse, joining one another, you'll start joining yourself to these other organizations that's as ungodly, to people in such a way. When you join yourself to people to a point where it takes you away from Christ, that's a problem. When you join yourself to any organization where it takes you away from Christ, that's a problem. That's where you can fall into spiritual adultery, because when you start giving all your loyalty and faithfulness and time to that person or thing and neglect God, you will fall into spiritual adultery. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So this world system, once again, operates under the carnal mind or the mind of the flesh. And it says that the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. So when you're envying a system of people where they operate who's not subject to God's law, and you become joined to it, you get to a point where you don't become subject to his law. You understand that? And so when you don't become subject to the law, then guess what? You don't want to have nothing else to do with God. You get what I'm saying? And then you'll fall into spiritual adultery. Okay? Just like when you, as a husband, or let's say as a wife, when you become, you don't want to become more subject to the right way of doing things and honoring or doing or being with your husband, but you rather, you know, submit to someone else out there, then you ain't going to want to spend no more time with your husband. That's the same way with the husband with the wife. He ain't going to want to spend no more time with his wife, okay? You understand what I'm saying? When someone is, when another woman is tempting him to be with her, okay? And see, that's going into adultery. When she's tempting him to be with her, and he's no longer have a desire to be under righteousness and being dedicated and faithful to his wife, but he gets a craving for the temptation that this woman is giving him to join her, then guess what? He's not going to want to no longer be with his wife. He's going to go and join himself with that woman. And that's how it is with the Lord, amen, how you will fall to spiritual adultery. So that's why we have to watch ourselves as Christians, that we don't develop a craving for how the world operates on some things and things that they go by getting or things they go by doing. Because you'll find out much of it is out of the way of God. So for those of you saying, well, wait a minute, we can't have no friends. I didn't say you can't have no friends who are not saved, but there's a boundary. And if you overstep that boundary, okay, so you got to differentiate between what God accepts and what God don't, okay? Because even some of your, quote, friends who are not saved or associates is going to want you to do something that you know God says a no-no. So now you got a decision to make. So now if you crave, if your desire is more to be connected to them than God, what's going to happen is that you're going to try to fulfill and try to pleasing them. You're going to fall into spiritual adultery because you'll be more connected to them, okay, and spending time with them and all that stuff, amen, over God. And then you will have no more time for God. That's why you hear that many that talk to people that want to get married, first of all, obey the scripture. Marry someone in the Lord, first of all. Number two, overall, we must know that it's the will of God in something. We need to, even if those ain't saved, I mean, that's saved, we need to bring them to Christ. But this is another reason why you hear it said, don't marry a sinner, because a sinner is not going to lead you to Jesus. And see, so many Christians, men and women, have messed up because they went and married, you know, someone who wasn't saved, wasn't even thinking about the Lord. They married them because either they look good or they smile at them good, twitch their hips at them real good a little bit, something like that, spoke sweet nothings in their ear. Now they married them, but guess what? Now you don't see Brother Jones or Sister Sue anymore because guess what? That spouse had pulled them away from Christ. They don't even pray no more. They don't even study no more, just pull them away. And now they've dedicated that all to their spouse, and now they have fallen into a spiritual adultery. Amen? Because now that person has become number one in their life over God. That's why you have to be careful. You can't just marry. You go around just marrying anybody, okay? I don't care how good they look. I don't care how all the, quote, right words they say to you. I don't care. You have to listen to the Holy Ghost, and they have to be in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to be careful, you know. Amen. And see, that's just like when I gave y'all an example about me and working out that time. But see, I understand why God did that, because see, and I've had to repent at that time before, at one time, even after that, because I gave myself more to exercising than God. I was leaving out from God, you know, leaving out time, not spending time with God, putting that first. And so when you put that above God, you're going to fall into spiritual adultery. So anything or anyone you put above God, that a point where it calls you give any time to the Lord, give more time to those things, and not giving any time to the Lord, then you're going by ungodly ways to keep your connection to those other things, you will fall into spiritual adultery. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, if you have done it, repent. Quit having your chest stuck out. Like you said, Brother Nate, that ain't me. You ain't talking about me. I'm going to tell you something. All of us, at some point, I do believe, had committed spiritual adultery somewhere. At some point, we was given more time to someone or some other thing than God, and we had to repent and come back to God. You understand that? But see, the message I gave from the other day, or yesterday, is that the Bible tells us, and Paul tells us in his letter to the Thessalonians, that in the last days, many that's going to be a falling away. So there's going to be some that's going to commit spiritual adultery against God that is not going to come back. You need to make sure it's not you, okay? I'm dropping at this personally. But there are some who are not going to come back. There are some who's going to turn away from God completely. They're going to become joined to the world and this world system, and is not going to repent and come back. Why? Because they're going to crave and have an appetite more for that than want to be with God. You need to make sure it is not you. Amen? So when the Lord told Israel and tell his people today in Exodus 20, thou shalt not commit adultery, he wasn't just talking about the physical adultery. He was talking about adultery as a whole, the spiritual aspect too, okay? And see, even when you go on worshiping other gods, you will fall into committing spiritual adultery. Amen? Amen. For some people, their God is money. And when you go worshiping money, you do anything you have to do to get it. Give all your time, whatever. Okay? Like I said, some people, their God is organizations. Some people, their God is people. Some people, their God is things, their cars, their houses. They dedicate more time to keeping it up and keeping it going than even going to service. You know, there's some people, you know, instead of going to service, they out there washing their cars. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at one more scripture. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to look at verse 1 through 3 once again. And this is still talking about why this friendship is enmity with God, and why that, you know, also too what is answered, Romans 8 and 7 answered why God said he don't be a friend of the world is enemy to God. Because why? You would not want to become subject to God's law. As you remember, the world operates in the sin nature, the same nature of Satan. And Satan's nature makes him an enemy to God. Do you get what I'm saying? So when you commit that spiritual adultery by having that appetite for the world system and the way the world runs and want to be joined to the world and doing like the world doing and want to please the world, you'll be operating in that sin nature, and there's why you become an enemy to God. So not only would you be an adulterer or adulteress, but you'll become an enemy to God. Now look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, and it said, and you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now he's talking about spiritually dead. Where in the time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do you see that? Now, I hope that it's coming more clear to you that why God not only called you an adulterer or adulteress, you become joined to the world through your cravings for the world system and how the world do things and all that, but why he said when you become a friend of the world, you become an enemy to God, because, see, just like Paul here said in our past, this is how we live. Our conversation, our lifestyle was what? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, which we read in Romans 8, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. Okay? So this is why God said, when you become joined to the world, craving is the worldly system and the way the world runs and its appetite and all that, you're operating the sin nature in the way of the flesh. And remember that way of the flesh, do not want to be subject to the law of God. Therefore, you will fall into spiritual adultery. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God. Spiritual adultery, worldly connection. When you're connected in the world to the world in such a way where you become joined, you can fall into spiritual adultery. This is one another reason why God said, okay, stay in communion with me. Stay in my word. Stay praying before me. Stay spending time with me, because it keeps you in a connection with God. You understand that? But when you get into the point where you start craving the world system, how they do things and all that, remember what Proverbs told us, envy not sinners. And see, when you get to the point where you envy them because you like, and let's be honest, this is what many of us as Christians say, man, seem like they getting and doing whatever they want. I'm up here believing God and I got to suffer. That's one of the biggest complaints that we've had as Christians. And so we keep looking at them, you know, and then the more we look at them, the madder we getting at God, you know. And then we're looking at them again, and we're getting more mad at God to a point where, well, now what? We're desiring to do what they do. Because some of the sinners will tell you, say, y'all like y'all trapped. Y'all can't do nothing. I can go and do what I want to do. But see, if you listen to all that, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to go into spiritual adultery. Okay, if you listen to all that, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if a married man is listening, you know, to another guy, it's going to be a friend here saying, hey, man, you married so-and-so, man, you can't do nothing, man, you can't do nothing. Man, I can go out and I can do whatever I want to do. And they may be married, too. And if you sit up there and listen to that man of God, and you start going, man, I got to let my wife know where I'm going, blah, blah, blah. When you start complaining like that, and then you listening to your old so-called buddy tell you, man, I ain't going to tell my wife nothing. I can do what I want to do. Then all of a sudden you start liking it, then guess what happened? You finna fall into adultery because you're going to start saying, well, yes, the way. And you're going to go out and do what you want to do, and guess what? It's going to lead you to the path where you go join yourself to someone in the wrong way. You understand what I'm saying? So the whole thing, in a nutshell, is this. The word of God tells us not to commit adultery. And as I said before, just like adultery in the physical realm brings curses, so will spiritual adultery. That's why he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. There is a penalty for sin. Okay? It's a penalty for sin. Just like you look at with Adam, once Adam disobey God, it brought physical death and spiritual death, okay? Because it brought death of a twofold, a curse, okay? So therefore, if you commit in the spiritual adultery, guess what? It's going to bring a curse. You go join yourself to these organizations, okay, that is ungodly and not of God, because you like their step team, you like the building, you like the quote, look like they got a lot of money and all that, okay, then guess what? A curse will hit. And remember, in the Bible, the curse was threefold, death, sickness, poverty. So you open yourself up for that curse to hit you. And for those of you who say, hey, not me, because Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. Yes, he did. But once again, You got the, you failing to remember something. You can walk back under a curse because sin does not change what it is or what it can do because you got saved. It does not change what it can bring because you got saved. And like I said, that's a lesson that some Christians need to hear because some Christians act like that. So they take the hammer and beat the sinner man over the head because of the sin he committed, but when they do it, they excuse it and say it's okay. No. Because once again, if that sinner man commit that sin and they bring that curse on him, guess what? The same curse is coming on you. A curse will come on you if you commit that same sin. Because you say, see, once again, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, that we don't have to be under that curse. But once again, you can, by your own free will and your own choosing, walk back under a curse. Who fault is going to be? It's going to be your fault. Plain and simple. It's going to be your fault. It's not going to be Jesus' fault. It's going to be your fault. Amen? So to sum up this whole matter is this. When you develop a fondness for this world, the world system, then appetite also for this world system, then you're on the path or you will fall into spiritual adultery. And God wants you to know that the foolishness of this world, see, God calls the way the world system run about their way of doing things is foolishness. It's foolishness, okay? It is evil, wickedness, the foolish actions that they do, foolishness, okay? And it's enmity with God because, hey, the world system, the world don't want to be subject to the law of God. And so if you have an appetite for that and you go into that, then, you know, he wants you to know that, first of all, the foolishness of the world's enmity with God, okay? So in other words, he's saying, hey, don't fall to that realm of craving it and having an appetite for it. Don't do it. He said, because it's not going to be pleasing to me. It's opposition to me. When you go into the foolishness of what the things they do, the evil and the wickedness, he said, it is an opposition to me. And he said, whoso will be a friend of the world? And he's talking about choosing to operate on that craving or appetite and to become joined in the world in that way of their system or how they do things. He said, they're enemy to God. And the reason why, once again, the arrangement of the world and its people and its habit, its system, is an enemy to God because it doesn't want to be subject to the law of God. And so when you want to be connected in such a way, you become to the point where you don't want to be subject to the law of God. And therefore, you're going to adultery. Amen? Hallelujah. You start giving your time and loyalty and all that to the things that the world gives his time and loyalty to. And you exclude God. Have no more time for God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for your word today. Thank you for this opportunity you've given us. Lord God, I ask today, Lord God, that you will bless everyone that listened today. I pray that, you know, you will anoint the words of my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I lift you up, magnify you because you're worthy to be praised and be glorified in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I thank you, and I give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory to God. We're going to have another broadcast coming on at 6 o'clock. Brother Emmanuel Murphy and Brother Tom, they will be on at 6 o'clock. So tune in for that broadcast. Amen. The Lord just bless you through what they're going to bring in the Word of God. So thank God for all of you that's listening. Thank God for all of you that lend an ear. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you and may he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.